Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us from delivering powerful, meaningful, and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next-door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings, and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy. Your voice, your radio station.
Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for coming in. Can you give us the Selena Miles bio? Who are you? How did you get into this? And what are you doing here?
Sure. Well, I grew up on the mean streets of Mount Gravatt, Brisbane.
Oof.
Very interesting place to come from.
Sure.
Sorry, Mount Gravatt. I grew up in Brisbane, and very early in my film career, came across a group of friends in Brizzy that were interested in graffiti. And that was my entree into film, really. And the two have kind of run parallel in my life for the last 10 years. So I made a little bit of a name for myself, traveling around documenting street art, which has been really an emerging kind of culture over the last 10 years and now has turned into quite a huge industry. So I definitely feel lucky to have been in that certain place at that certain time. And through that, met lots of amazing artists, including the subject of my first documentary. So I guess the one-line version would be Selena Miles, street art filmmaker from Australia.
Perfect.
Something like that.
So, which leads to a really great question. You've made this wonderful documentary, which is your first feature after obviously doing a lot of other really great content as well. But how did an Aussie filmmaker get to make a wonderful documentary about Martha Cooper, an American photojournalist who just happened to be there at the birth of graffiti, hip hop, and all these other amazing things?
Oh, I know, right? It's still blows my mind. I feel so lucky, and I just think it's incredible that this happened. I think the way that I met Martha Cooper, having already known about her work for years and years, like everybody that's interested in this subculture, was at a street art festival in Tahiti, of all places.
Right.
And she was the official photographer, and I was there as a videographer. So we would drive around together, and that's how we got to know each other. And the way she tells the story, she says, "Oh, there was this girl and she was just, I was just so impressed with how she had this drone. She was flying this drone around." And that was, I think, the thing that caught her eye about me. And it was about 2 years of doing that festival together. It's an annual thing.
Right.
Before I approached her with the idea of creating just a short 10-minute piece about her. And she agreed. And then I went to New York and immediately realized that it was not going to fit into 10 minutes. And that's where it started to sort of escalate into the behemoth that it is today. So, so it was quite a natural sort of evolution.
When did you meet her, and how long did it take before the documentary was a thing? Like it actually existed? Like, what time frame were we talking about?
So I probably met her for the first time in 2014.
Right.
16, I think, was the year that I approached her. And then that would have been middle of the year, following February was my first trip to New York.
Right.
And then I'd say it was another solid 12 months of following her around filming before I started to get it into a cohesive sort of format and understand that it had the potential to be a feature film.
Right.
Because I just kept shooting. And I was like, oh my goodness, what am I doing? Like, what am I going to do with all this material? I've already got too much. And it was my producer, Daniel Joyce, who he comes from a more feature documentary background. And we met, and he was the one that really saw the potential for a feature film.
Right.
And instilled in me the belief, self-belief, to be able to do it, because I'd never done it before. So
your love of graffiti and street art, how did that come about, and how did that kind of come to be a part of, I could imagine how it could come up with Martha, but how did you guys make that connection?
Having met all these young guys and girls doing graffiti in Brisbane, I landed a job for this sort of local spray paint company editing all their online content.
Right.
So they'd send me all this material from all over the world, and it was my job to put it together to some music. And it was great because I got to learn how to edit with a pre-supplied audience. Sometimes like 50,000 people would watch these videos, but I was still learning. So it was a real motivation to keep going.
Mm.
But I also got to learn a lot about graffiti culture because I'd sit there and watch all this raw material from all these artists from all over the world. And I got to feel like I knew them, which was kind of creepy when I met them because they had no idea who I was.
Right.
I think that the moment that it really cemented for me as something that I wanted to pursue and be interested in and participate in was when I first went overseas with it. I had a friend, we went together to Europe and traveled around Europe and met up with a whole bunch of different artists over there. And the sense of community that you experience, like once people understand that you're part of this culture, it's like, come and stay at my house, let me cook you dinner. Like, you're going to this city, you should hang out with this person.
Wow.
And that's when I started to realize that it was, you know, a gateway to travel, to learning different languages, to meeting people that I would never normally have a chance to associate with. And I think that's nowadays, I think that's why a lot of people are interested in it. It's right. A sense of adventure and fun and community. And then Martha, I mean, she's still documenting street art around the world full time. So if you're on the sort of circuit of street art festivals, you will run into her eventually. Like right now, I think she's in Miami for Art Basel, which is one of the biggest kind of meeting places. There's literally thousands of artists turn up to this thing, and she's the official photographer of this particular sort of event. So you'll see her, and she's pretty easy to spot. She's a very sort of distinctive character. She's got like white hair and always with a backpack and a camera. So yeah, it's inevitable that you're going to see her. And then we sort of, I think, align on a lot of our interests within that sort of street art graffiti world. So it's just so much fun spending time with her. And it was a very natural partnership, I think, for the most part.
That absolutely came across. I was saying to you before the interview that I didn't necessarily know the name off the top of my head, but I knew the images. Mm. And they're iconic for so many reasons. And obviously, she is well-known worldwide, but it's that really her capturing New York City in its heyday. Mm. What she managed to document was incredible. And the fact that she's now, 76?
Yes, yeah. 77 next March.
Wow, and still going, and obviously still going really strong.
Yeah.
How is it that you managed to make a documentary about someone who is iconic in so many ways, but in a lot of ways is really unknown? How do you think you kind of beat everyone else to the punch?
Well, I do know that I'm not the first person to approach her. I think she has had a few requests, and she featured in a documentary called Everybody Street, which was a sort of series of profiles on different street photographers.
Okay.
She's really well known within the sort of hip hop community because of her early photos of breakdancers, as well as the graffiti community through her book Subway Art, which was co-authored with Henry Chalfont. But somehow was more or less overlooked by the kind of New York photography community. Yeah. And, you know, it's a very competitive space. There's a lot of sort of household names that have come out at that same time. Mm. People like Bill Cunningham.
Yes.
I think I just got really lucky, you know?
Yeah, and I think you touch on it. There's a quote in the press kit that said, the time has also come to address the fact that senior women remain a gravely underrepresented demographic in media. And Martha, A Picture Story, is an affirming and inspiring story of a trailblazing woman still very much in her prime. And I think that is really well reflected in the documentary. And it's something that, in knowing the subject now and having a better understanding of that, it's still quite upsetting to see her in some instances either overlooked or challenged about her ability when there are so many people around the world who, you know, I loved some of the scenes that you got where these young guys were like, you're like my grandma, or, you know, like praying to her kind of on the street and all that sort of thing. Why do you think there is such a disconnect, I guess, in some ways, and then in other ways she's just so highly revered?
Yeah, I've thought a lot about that grandma phenomenon that guys like to say that she's their grandma, and I've always tried to role reverse that and say, would I ever say that to a male kind of, you know, hero of mine? Would I say you're like my grandfather? It seems a little creepy if I was to say it, and I think there is like a gender bias there that goes on. I don't know how much of Martha being overlooked has to do with the fact that she's a woman. I think it's definitely part of it, and I think that, unfortunate that traditionally, I think it's changing now and, you know, for the better, but a lot of the time women are sort of, their value is decided by how they can be useful to men. And I think that that's why I think, you know, young men find it hard to identify with her as anything other than their grandma. It's a right. really, yes, you know, right. so I hope, but I love her response. You know, she either just kind of shrugs it off or laughs it off or says, let's try mom instead. You know, like, yeah, I'm not right. that old. God damn it. Like,
or also,
or she just, corrects them.
Or just tell me that, you know, you really admire what I do.
Yeah.
And not have to go into that weird space.
Yeah. I didn't get to use it in the film, but I do remember asking Martha, you know, we talk a lot about sexism and I tried to sort of coax some of her opinions out, but she's, I think, taken a very kind of hardline route of like, I'm just going to ignore all that nonsense and do my thing. But right. When I asked her about ageism, she said, yes, ageism absolutely exists. And when you get past a certain age, people, you become invisible. People push you out of the way. They ignore you. They think that you couldn't possibly have anything to offer. And I think that must be really difficult. But she also, at the end of this kind of conversation about it, she said, but you know, it's coming for all of you, so watch out. so
and true.
It's, that's the ironic thing, is that we're all going to be old one day. So why do we find it so difficult to, you know, to have empathy with that situation, you know?
Yeah.
So hopefully people can think a bit more about that after having seen the film.
I agree. I think that's actually a really wonderful point. And you actually capture a really interesting scene where there's a group of photographers taking a shot and a male photographer comes in and literally cuts her off and then kind of ignores her while she's on a ladder.
Yeah.
I think that was the bit that blew my mind the most. It's like, you know, sure, if you're not wanting to engage, that's fine, but there's someone on a ladder next to you. And I think that did sum it up quite well. And I admire the fact that she's all about the work. But I think you did a great job in making sure that it was made pretty clear that she kept continuing on, even though there was a ton of hurdles in her way. One of the things that I did find really interesting was the section that you did on Baltimore. I obviously, now knowing the breadth of her work, you could have obviously just done another 2 hours just on her time in New York, obviously.
Yeah.
Why was it important to you to include that part about her going back to Baltimore and capturing that part of that series of work that she was doing there?
In the beginning, when I first got over there and I was still feeling out the story and understanding what I was dealing with, it was really important to Martha.
Mm.
And she kind of took me there. She sort of not dragged me, but and I'm really glad that she did. I think that, again, it contextualizes graffiti because, you know, what she's doing right now in Baltimore is very similar to the approach she would have had that's resulted in those sort of really impactful cultural images, you know, but it's happening now. So it's a little harder for us to see the value in them. Maybe they need another 30 years to develop those pictures.
Yeah, sure.
It's also lovely to see her in practice, the way that she approaches people. I love the moment that we managed to sort of put together where she tells us to turn off the camera. And I included that because I want people to understand what I think is the sort of right practice when you're documenting a community that isn't necessarily interested in having their photo taken on face value. Mm. It's just nice to know that not every project that you do is going to be a smash hit right then at the moment that you make it. And I think, you know, finishing the film with her saying maybe it'll take another 30 years for those pictures to be appreciated, but that's okay, you know.
Absolutely.
And I think, I just thought it gave a lot of context to her other work.
You know, it's quite scary to think that if people like Martha weren't around, we would not have a documentation of the, you know, birth of this movement that has, you know, impacted the whole world when it comes to graffiti and street art. I think it's ironic in a way that National Gallery of Victoria is just about to open a Keith Haring and Basquiat, you know, exhibition. I mean, Keith Haring talked obviously a lot about how he always found it amusing that his art would go from the streets into you know, galleries and make a lot of money. And Martha brings out her own experience with that as well. One thing I'm really intrigued about, and it's more just a curious thing for me, her archive or her storage lockers and all those sorts of things. What is she actually going to do with all of that?
Yeah.
Is there going to be someone who's going to help her go through all of it? Like, it just, as someone who's a little bit of a neat freak, yeah. It overwhelmed me a little bit, all those boxes. I really felt for her. But I also think, what's in there? Like, yeah. You know, it feels like we've only just scratched the surface. So what, yeah. Has she got a plan to tackle her ginormous archive?
I think that, I mean, she's said to me a couple of times, she's like, someone's going to have to sort it out when I'm dead because I don't want to do it. Well, he's like, oh,
fair enough.
It is a little bit sort of anxiety inducing if you're a neat freak to see her archive. But I will say it's actually like quite well organized.
Right.
Considering the number of years, the fact that a lot of it is analog, it just takes up so much space.
Yeah, true.
And yeah, I was always a bit like overwhelmed by it. But then I interviewed Sean Cochran, who's one of the directors at the Museum of the City of New York. Didn't get to use it in the film, but we had a chat about archiving. And I told him about, oh, she's got these three storage units and it's so overwhelming. And he said, you know what? It's totally normal. And every photographer that we deal with whose archives are donated to us or... They're all like that. They're photographers. They're not archivists. They don't want to spend their time sorting through stuff. Once they've taken the pictures, they leave it to someone else.
Yeah.
And luckily, especially in New York, there are swathes of young, sort of aspiring archivists that were just absolutely killed to have the opportunity to look at that stuff. And the question of, you know, are there gems in there that nobody's ever seen? I think absolutely. But as far as Martha's concerned, she says, you know, she's got boxes and boxes of things that just say slides, graffiti. And I'm just like, ah, we have to go through it. And she says, no, they're the rejects.
Right.
You know, I already picked out my favorite ones.
Of
and
course.
Those are the ones I publish. So anything in there is probably not going to be the best. So, but, you know, I think going back through now, knowing what we know now about history, I think someone is going to have a really, really good time in there.
Some of those outtakes, even.
I know.
That's incredible. Yeah. Well, that makes me feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
So thank you. I appreciate that. So you've made this wonderful feature documentary. It's been really, really well received. What comes next for you? What are you working on?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sort of just keeping my eyes out for something sort of worthy of diving back into a feature. I'd love to make another one, obviously, but just you know you really need to love it because it's a long process.
I can imagine.
And in the meantime, I've through all this traveling, especially since the film, I've been able to connect with some really incredible artists in different parts of the world. There's an artist in Lebanon that I'm working with at the moment to sort of facilitate a project that he wants to do, and you know, get back into some of that short form work. Just with all this new experience in storytelling and through the documentary, I feel like I can contribute sort of a lot to some of the more interesting street art projects that are going on now. So just trying to keep my eyes out and just enjoy as well, like having the film out and seeing what people think. One thing that was kind of unexpected that we've noticed about the screenings that we've had so far with festivals and stuff is that the audience is literally half like young men with neck tattoos and half women in their 70s and, you know, like the sort of, you know, the matinee crowd,
right.
Which is so cool. And so, you know, I'm sort of trying to encourage friends to, you know, like take your mom to go see it. It's
nice.
It's a really good like mother son kind of film, or, you know, father daughter type film.
Yep.
It's because it has that kind of cross-generational interest.
It really does.
So, yeah, that's kind of my way of plugging it this week.
Your takeaway.
Yeah.
I think that's a really great plug. And I think, you know, it is that sort of documentary. If you love graffiti, if you love New York, if you love photography, like there is literally something in there for everyone. And thank you for bringing Martha's story to all of us.
Oh, no,
it's really wonderful.
My pleasure. It's been a wonderful ride. I feel so honored to be here. So,
and let's I guess we'll have to wait and see what Martha does next.
I know, right?
It's like she's not going to stop.
Yeah.
Have you got any special events coming up that we should let people know about?
I think the main event to check out in the coming weeks will be December 6th. At Revolver upstairs.
Right.
And Martha's going to be coming along. She's coming back out.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it's awesome. I can't wait. So it'll be her and I doing a Q&A. So we'll have a screening at the Astor, which is just up the road from Revolver, in the afternoon. And then we'll all sort of head down to Revolver, and there'll be an exhibition of One Up Crew, which is the guys that are in the film.
Yeah, great.
Sort of go out with her. And Martha and I will do a little bit of a Q&A there. So please come along and let us know what you think about the film.
Where do you get tickets from? Or
It's a free event. The film screening is ticketed, but then the after party is a free event. So it's all on Instagram, Facebook, either Revolver Upstairs or Martha the Movie for our social media, and all the info's on there.
Amazing. How long is Martha going to be in town for, do you know?
Couple of weeks. She'll do an appearance here in Melbourne and then something in Sydney. And
brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe she'll take a few pictures along the way and capture some Australian graffiti. Oh, that's really exciting.
Well, I mean, her main sort of agenda for coming here is that she's obsessed with Pokemon Go. Like, she's plays it, like, relentlessly.
And I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, I know, right? I wish I could have fit it in the film. She's like, a total freak about it. She's got, like, she's, like, the highest level that you can reach. And there's a special Pokemon you can only get in Australia. And that's the only way we get her to come out. She doesn't care about, like, film screening. She's, like, boring. But Kangaskhan. She's like, oh, I've got to catch more Kangaskhan so I can trade them.
Okay, so now I need to just ask a couple more questions about that. Does she know where she has to be or go?
Well, they show up on the map, and then you've got a certain amount of time to get there, and then you've got to battle, and you've got to throw eggs, something like that. I've like refused to join. She keeps trying to get me to join. So you'll be driving around with her, and she'll be like, "Stop, everything, stop! I've got to go to this address, and we've got to catch this Pokemon." And then you've got to race, you know, illegally down a one-way street to get her to her Pokemon. Yeah, she's completely
bonkers, right?
Obsessed. So if anyone listening plays Pokemon, maybe we should organize like a battle at the after party or something. God.
You probably would make her day, make her year. I'm surprised Pokemon hasn't got onto it and snapped her up for some kind of project or something.
I know, right? I know. She could have her own Pokemon.
That would be incredible too. So that's exciting. So December 6th at Revolver, the film screening earlier on in the day at the Astor, and then a Q&A with you both. What a wonderful way to celebrate the film and meet the legends themselves.
Yes. Yeah, can't wait. I look forward to seeing everyone there. Come say hi.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.